You know, when you hit send on an email, there's this this comforting illusion of teleportation.
Oh, absolutely. Like it just magically appears.
Right. You type your message, click a button, and poof, it just materializes on your coworker's screen halfway across the world. But if you actually pull back the curtain on the internet infrastructure, it is not teleportation at all.
No, not even close. It's a highly chaotic, invisible journey.
Yeah, it's more like this hyperspeed global post office sorting facility, you know. Millions of digital envelopes are just flying around, getting scanned, checked for suspicious contents, routed to different locations. And the fascinating thing is, a lot of the architecture running that massive facility was actually designed back in the 1990s.
Which is pretty wild when you think about the sheer volume of traffic a modern network has to handle today without, just buckling under the pressure.
Exactly. So today, in this deep dive, we are going to look at what happened when a 10-year veteran of the internet anti-spam wars looked at that creaking, overloaded postal facility and decided to completely rebuild the whole thing from scratch using modern JavaScript.
It's a surprisingly monumental task, but it changes everything about how the system operates.
It really does.
Yeah.
And, you know, if that digital sorting facility, like your own organization's email infrastructure, if that is slow or inefficient, the entire communication system of your business just grinds to a halt.
Oh, yeah. Everything stops.
And this is why organizations today are facing a massive challenge. Because if you relied on proprietary tools, like Microsoft Exchange or Google Workspace to run that infrastructure, it is incredibly expensive.
Oh, astronomical.
Right. The licensing fees just scale up with every single user you add.
Yeah.
And worse, you are essentially handing over your organization's most sensitive internal communications to a massive third-party corporation.
Which, I mean, that makes data sovereignty a really critical issue.
Oh.
When you factor in strict legal and regulatory compliance, the stakes get very high. Organizations have to think about mandatory email retention laws, data protection regulations, keeping secure financial records, and reliable audit trails. You really have to ask yourself, who actually holds the keys to that data?
Exactly. If you don't actually control the servers where those emails live, do you really control your data at all? And that is exactly why today's deep dive is supported by SafeServer.
Yeah, they really champion the open source alternative model.
They do. And the cost difference compared to those proprietary giants is simply massive. You get to keep your budget intact, but more importantly, you get your sovereignty back.
Because SafeServer actually helps organizations figure out exactly which open source solutions fit their specific needs. They handle everything from the initial consulting phase to actually operating the systems on highly secure servers located right in the European Union.
Yeah, so you get enterprise-grade performance without the proprietary price tag, and you maintain absolute control over your own data. You can explore their solutions at www.safeserver.de. And finding that kind of highly efficient, robust software to run your own infrastructure is exactly what we're focusing on today.
Right, we are looking at a tool called Haraka.
Yes, Haraka. It's an open-source, highly scalable Node.js email server. And we're using its official GitHub repository and documentation to understand how it handles modern web traffic.
Because our goal here is to take server-level email architecture, which, I mean, let's be honest, can sound incredibly intimidating.
Oh, totally overwhelming for a lot of people.
All right, we want to break it down so you can see the elegance of how it actually functions.
Yeah, our mission is to give you an easy, accessible entry point into what Haraka is, why it was built, and exactly how it manages to juggle thousands of messages per second without breaking a sweat. Okay, let's unpack this. If we're going to understand how Haraka handles all that traffic, we first have to define what it actually does in the ecosystem, because the term email server gets thrown around constantly.
Oh, all the time. And it really obscures the actual mechanics of the network. People tend to think of an email server as this single monolithic thing.
Like one big box that does everything.
Exactly. But Haraka is highly specialized. It's an SMTP server, and specifically, it functions as a mail transfer agent or an MTA.
Okay, let's ground that in a physical analogy for a second. Haraka is the MTA. Think of the MTA as that massive delivery truck hurtling down the highway, moving mail from city to city. That is its only job transition.
Yes, perfect analogy.
And what Haraka is not is an IMAP server. An IMAP server is like the filing cabinet at your actual office, where you eventually open the drawer and read the mail. You do not use Haraka to store your inbox.
No, definitely not. It doesn't replace the storage databases of Microsoft Exchange or legacy systems like PostFix or Qmail. It doesn't hold on to your mail waiting for you to log in and read it.
Right, it's just passing it along.
It's designed to aggressively process, filter, and route the mail as it flies across the internet, and then immediately hand it off to those storage systems. It acts as the intelligent traffic cop working in front of your storage, not instead of it.
Wait, hold on, though. I mean, I understand the distinction, but email has been around since the dawn of the web. We already have battle-tested MTA systems like Eggs and Qmail that have been doing this transit job for decades.
That's true. They've been around forever.
So why rewrite the whole thing from scratch in Node.js, using JavaScript of all things?
Yeah.
It feels a bit like, I don't know, chasing a shiny new programming trend just for the sake of it.
It's a fair point, but I promise you, it is not about chasing trends. It's actually about solving a fundamental physics problem of the modern internet.
A physics problem?
Yeah. The answer lies entirely in how older systems manage memory. Older legacy systems were often built using a thread per connection or process per connection model.
Meaning every time a piece of mail arrives, the server has to spin up a dedicated worker just for that one envelope.
Precisely. Every single time a new email connection is opened, the server dedicates a specific heavy chunk of system RAM and processing power to hold that connection open.
Wow, okay.
And back in the early days of the internet, when traffic was light, that was perfectly fine. But today, imagine a malicious spam botnet suddenly targeting your server with 10,000 concurrent email connections all at once.
Right, so the server tries to hire 10,000 heavy workers all at the exact same second.
Exactly.
It chews through all its available RAM, starts thrashing the hard drive, and the whole machine just crashes under its own weight.
The architecture simply wasn't designed for that kind of malicious scale.
Right.
But Haraka is built on Node.js, which means it uses asynchronous JavaScript.
Okay, asynchronous.
Right. It is entirely event-driven. So instead of dedicating a heavy memory-hogging process to every single connection, it operates on a single, extremely lightweight event loop.
I love trying to visualize this. So think of a legacy server, like a traditional restaurant, where a waiter takes your order, walks into the kitchen, and literally stands there doing absolutely nothing until the chef finishes cooking your food.
Yep, just waiting.
And then brings it to you. If 10 people walk in, you need 10 waiters or everything stops. But Haraka, using an asynchronous event loop, is like a single lightning-fast waiter who drops your order in the kitchen and immediately pivots to take 3 more orders.
Exactly. They go seat a new table, pour some drinks, all while the chef is cooking.
Right. It never just stands there waiting.
That is a perfect visualization. When an email arrives, Haraka accepts the connection, issues a command to inspect it, and instantly moves on to handle the next incoming connection while it waits for the result of the first inspection.
That's incredibly efficient.
Because it isn't locking up system resources waiting for slow processes to finish, Haraka can serve thousands of concurrent connections and deliver thousands of messages per second. It just keeps gracefully directing traffic.
Here's where it gets really interesting. That raw speed is great, but speed alone does not solve the biggest problem with running an email infrastructure.
No, it doesn't.
Which is the absolute avalanche of spam, phishing, and malicious routing attempts. The baseline speed of that asynchronous event loop is just the foundation. The real secret weapon, the thing that allows Haraka to act as a brilliant shield before mail ever reaches your vulnerable storage systems, is its modular plug-in architecture.
What's fascinating here is how this perfectly addresses the glaring weakness of those legacy storage systems. Traditional MTAs and mail stores are fantastic at being giant buckets.
Giant buckets, yeah.
They're incredibly reliable at writing data to a hard drive so it doesn't get lost. But historically, they do not have deep, nuanced filtering capabilities built into their core design.
Right. They're great buckets, but they don't care if they're catching clean drinking water or toxic sludge. They just catch it and store it. Haraka sits in front of the bucket and acts as the ultimate purification system. And because it's written in Node.js, it allows everyday JavaScript programmers full access to change the server's behavior.
Which is huge.
You don't need to write complex low-level C code or learn some obscure configuration language. If you know standard JavaScript, you can write a custom Haraka plugin to filter your mail.
Which turns Haraka into an incredibly powerful screening tool. And it goes both ways, too. It can also run as a mail submission agent or an MSA.
Okay, an MSA. What does that look like?
Well, In that role, it operates like the front desk of your building, checking the IDs of people leaving. You can easily enable authentication plugins to verify the identity of your own internal senders and automatically attach cryptographic signatures to outbound messages.
Oh, like DKIM signatures and things like that.
Exactly. This ensures your organization's legitimate emails don't end up flagged as spam by the rest of the world.
And looking at the documentation, you don't even have to write most of these plugins yourself, do you?
No, not at all.
There are incredibly robust tools available right out of the box. You have immediate integration for running incoming mail through Spam Assassin to catch junk. You have plugins for validating helo names, which is basically just making sure the server talking to you is actually who they claim to be.
Yeah, the DNS blocklist plugins are particularly elegant, actually.
Yes. Walk us through why that specific mechanism is so powerful, because it really goes back to that idea of efficiency we were talking about earlier.
Well, normally a server has to accept the entire email payload. I'm talking the body text, the attachments, the whole massive file.
Right, all that data has to transfer first.
Right, before it can even analyze it and realize it's spam. That wastes a ton of bandwidth. But with Haraka's DNS blocklist plugins, the moment a spammer's IP address connects to the server, Haraka checks that address against global spam databases.
Wow.
If it's a known bad actor, Haraka drops the connection instantly before the spammer can even transmit the body of the email. You save incredible amounts of processing power by slamming the door shut at the earliest possible phase.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the ease of extending this system with simple JavaScript is just, I mean, it's revolutionary for system administrators who are usually tearing their hair out over routing rules.
Oh, routing can be a nightmare.
The official documentation highlights a brilliant specific example regarding custom routing that just proves how flexible this is.
You're referring to the extended addresses plugin, which is a fantastic case study.
Exactly. Let's say your organization uses Microsoft Exchange for storage. Exchange is notoriously rigid about email addresses. If your address is john@domain.com, that is the only address Exchange wants to hear about.
Right, it's very strict.
But sometimes users want to use QMail-style extended addresses. So John wants to sign up for a newsletter, and he wants to use johnnewsletter@domain.com so he can track who is selling his data.
Normally, a rigid system like Exchange would just reject that incoming email saying the user, John Newsletter doesn't exist in the database.
Right, it throws a rigid error and the mail bounces. But with Haraka sitting in front, acting as the traffic cop, you can write a literal five-line JavaScript plugin to intercept that message.
Just five
The
lines.
plugin looks at the address, identifies the hyphen, strips away the newsletter portion, and automatically routes the clean email directly to john@domain.com inside the Exchange system.
That's so clean. Exchange gets the exact format it demands, and the user gets the flexible functionality they want.
You gain incredibly dynamic routing capabilities for a stubborn legacy storage system, and you achieve it seamlessly. It acts as this intelligent, customizable middleman, bridging the gap between old rigidity and modern flexibility.
It really does.
But now we have to talk about the reality of deploying this. Because if you're a beginner listening to this, hearing about asynchronous event loops and extensible JavaScript architectures might make it sound like you need a PhD in computer science to even turn this thing on.
Yeah, it sounds intense.
You might be picturing hours of compiling code and configuring endless database tables. But the philosophy of Haraka's setup is entirely different.
It is shockingly accessible, primarily because it leverages the existing Node.js ecosystem rather than trying to invent its own package management.
Right, instead of spending 3 days configuring a SQL database just to get the server to boot up, Haraka piggybacks on NPM, the Node Package Manager.
Exactly.
If you want to go from zero to a fully functioning mail server, all you actually need is Node installed on your machine. You open your terminal and you type one command to install it globally, just npm install dash g Haraka.
And the brilliance is in what happens next. You don't have to manually build a complicated labyrinth of directory structures or guess where configuration files are supposed to live.
You just run an installation command using the Haraka tool, and it generates everything for you. It automatically builds your service directories, creates your config folders, and drops in the plugin directories.
It even queries your operating system behind the scenes to grab your machine's hostname and sets that as the default.
It practically wires itself together.
It does. And the configuration itself abandons the obscure syntax of legacy systems. You are mostly just editing simple text files.
Just plain text files.
Yeah. If you want to accept mail for a specific domain, you open a plain text file, type the domain name, and save it. If you want to activate a new plugin, you add its name to a text list. It is entirely transparent.
It is like buying a high-performance sports car, where the incredibly complex transmission and the asynchronous engine block are safely sealed under the hood. You don't have to know how to build the engine to drive the car.
Right, you just drive it.
But the dashboard gives you a few simple, highly accessible dials, in this case, basic text files in JavaScript, to completely customize how the car handles the road.
That level of polish and architectural forethought, you know, it doesn't just happen by accident. It is a direct result of the pedigree behind this project.
Oh, absolutely.
Haraka is fully open source, released under the MIT license, which gives organizations incredible freedom. But more importantly, we have to look at who actually created it.
Yes, the project was created by Matt Sargent. And for anyone outside the deep trenches of email infrastructure, it is hard to overstate his influence. Matt Sargent is an absolute titan of the industry.
He is a 10-year veteran of the email and anti-spam world. He was the project leader for Spam Assassin, which, I mean, remains one of the most famous, heavily relied upon anti-spam platforms in internet history.
It's everywhere.
And he was also a core hacker on QPS MTPD, which was an earlier, highly influential mail server written in Perl.
So what does this all mean? It means when you fire up Haraka on your server, you are not just playing with a random piece of experimental code a student wrote on a weekend.
Definitely not.
You're utilizing a tool built from the ground up by someone who spent a decade fighting the absolute worst spam attacks and infrastructure bottlenecks the internet had to offer. He watched legacy systems fail under massive pressure. He understood exactly why they failed at a structural level, and he designed Haraka's asynchronous architecture specifically to solve those failures.
It provides immense confidence. When an organization adopts Haraka, they are adopting a modern, lightweight architecture, but one that is deeply grounded in decades of hard-won, practical experience managing high-traffic global email systems.
So let's bring all these threads together.
Yeah.
What we have uncovered in the source material today
Correct.
Is that Haraka is a lightning-fast, event-driven SMTP server.
Yep.
It abandons the old, heavy, memory-hogging worker models of the past in favor of a modern, asynchronous event loop that never stops moving. It isn't trying to replace your actual mail storage. Instead, it acts as the ultimate customizable shield.
It's a traffic cop.
Right. It sits at the very edge of your network, uses simple, everyday JavaScript plugins to aggressively drop spam before it even fully loads, routes messages dynamically around rigid legacy systems, and is accessible enough that a beginner can get it running without a computer science degree.
It is the perfect illustration of how open source innovation can completely outperform slow, rigid, expensive proprietary systems by rethinking the fundamental architecture.
Which brings us right back to the massive challenge we discussed at the beginning of this deep dive. Organizations today are bleeding money on exorbitant proprietary licenses for tools like Exchange and Google Workspace, while simultaneously giving up sovereignty over their own critical internal communications.
And SafeServer offers the roadmap out of that expensive trap.
They really do.
Whether you are a business, a nonprofit association, or any other group handling sensitive data, the cost savings of switching to an open source solution are transformative. But as we establish, it is not just about freeing up your budget. It's about taking back total control.
It is about knowing exactly where your data lives. It's ensuring that your compliance requirements, your audit trails, and your retention policies are managed entirely on your own terms, running on highly secure EU-based servers. You are no longer renting access to your own information.
And the best part is, you don't have to navigate that complex transition alone. SafeServer can be commissioned for specialized consulting to analyze your exact infrastructure needs.
Because every setup is different.
Exactly. Whether the perfect fit for your routing layer is Haraka or a comparable open source alternative, they handle the entire lifecycle from implementation to daily operation. You can find out more and start taking back control of your infrastructure at www.safeserver.de.
As we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave you with one final thought to mull over. We started by picturing email as this chaotic, high-speed postal sorting facility. And we saw how a veteran of the anti-spam wars looked at that facility, realized the 1990s architecture was fundamentally broken under the weight of modern internet traffic, and completely rebuilt the mail transfer agent using modern asynchronous JavaScript.
A total overhaul.
It makes you wonder if an ancient foundational internet technology like the SMTP server can be so elegantly revolutionized by simply changing how it handles memory and tasks, what other invisible, heavy 1990s protocols running our daily digital lives are just sitting there waiting for someone to completely reinvent them.